Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julieta Talebi, and joining me to take your questions this evening are David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. If you'd like to send us questions, please SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, good evening to you both. Wayne, nice to have you back with us. Pretty good day for the All Share Index today, or the local market closing almost 1% to the good, and the Rand doing quite nicely. Do you think that's in any way an expectation that the Reserve Bank is going to hike rates more than expected tomorrow, given the fact that we seem to be worse than expected on inflation, or is that an irrelevance in what happens on the market?
Yeah, look, I must say the inflation number is nothing to worry about. You know, with the Rand at, what, 17.05 and oil down at 85, 86, we're going to see a big cut in petrol next month. And then when they measure that in the inflation number, it'll all come down. So you don't have to worry about inflation. The Rand strengthening, I think, is a case of more dollar weakness. I think that trend has now turned. And, you know, within the next year, 18 months, we'll probably see the Rand below 16, maybe even 15.50. And to be honest, and I think on a medium-term basis, we mustn't pencil in significant rand weakness. I think this big cycle of emerging markets and developed markets has been only developed markets up until a year ago for the previous 10 years. And it was only US dollar and tech shares. I think that cycle has changed, and emerging markets won't do as well as what they did between 2002 and 2008. But I think we must not, as I said, not pencil in significant rand weakness over the medium term. The Reserve Bank's going to increase, I think, by 0.75. I don't think they're going to do 0.5%. There's a lot of talk now about 1% because of the inflation number, but I think that's totally off the cards.
Yeah. I actually think they're going to do 0.5%, but anyway, maybe we should take a couple of bets
side bets.
David, I think there's a lot of people wondering, who are waiting to put their money offshore or buy offshore shares. I think I'm one of them. And just looking at the Rand where it is, I mean, you saw it actually dip below 17 at 16.99 at one point today. I mean, I concur with Wayne, but I don't know if it's more wishful thinking on my part than sort of a really informed view. But would you hold back a bit and just wait?
Sure, it's going to happen because you've got the conundrum. Because as the Rand strengthens, it means that global markets are picking up, inflation's coming to end, the normal story. So by holding off, you're missing the gains in shares. So you've got to find that balance, which is so, so difficult. But I think we're going to reach it soon. I have to say, though, as we get into the year end and everybody starts coming out with their forecasts, the outlook still remains extremely confusing, and you're getting so many different views, right? And seriously different views at both extremities, you know. So it's still a very confusing picture out there, but the market is pointing, the market is much steadier than some of these views anticipate. So I like what we're seeing at the moment. I like the fact that the S&P is over 4,000. The other thing, just reiterating what Wayne's saying, you know, you've got your 10-year U.S. bond at 3.72. Go back 2 weeks, that was at 4.20. And that's a massive, massive fall. You know, and it's same in the fives and the 30 years. Also pointing towards a weakening dollar.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, so many things to keep one awake at night as you ponder the future direction of your shekels. Just before we get to questions, you know, there were quite a few results out today, and one of them was obviously NASPAS and Prosus. And I don't know if you had looked through the numbers. I find it hard to take it without a large pinch of salt when they say their businesses continue to deliver strong growth when everything is going backwards in terms of earnings. I mean, I suppose the one thing that maybe should cheer the market is they seem to talk about peak investments in the tech businesses, which hopefully means that the money has now been spent and the losses theoretically from that should reduce. Wayne, what did you make of those numbers?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, It depends on which earnings number you look at. And Dave and I have spoken about this often. You know, earnings either disappeared or halved, you know. So, yeah, and this is a growth company, but we understand it has changed, and we've obviously seen that change reflected in the share price. It's good news that it's full, you know, full investment. They're at the peak now, which means they're not going to continue investing this money because they can't. There's not that much money left because 10 cent share prices come off. You can't issue shares. You can't really sell off too much more of 10 cent because it's not worth what it used to be. And so, I mean, those heady growth days are over for all tech companies, not just Naspers Process, for the whole shooting match. I mean, I read a very interesting article today that was headed up, you know, tech has a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
You know, and every tech company is cutting costs left, right, and center and firing people. I mean, could you imagine that a year and a half ago, it didn't happen. But Tencent and Naspers and Process is still critically dependent essentially on food delivery. I think it's going to work, but that's the unanswered question. The rest of the businesses aren't doing too badly. You know, they're either in some sort of cash flow positive or generating profits, etc. It's the food delivery business, and they've just spent another $1 billion buying out minorities. Yep. And I'm sure they are all very happy that the Just Eat thing didn't work, because they would have bought that at the absolute top of the cycle.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you talk about midlife crisis. Well, one tends to do some very stupid things during a midlife crisis, either like getting, I don't know, it used to be growing a ponytail for men in the 1980s and buying a Ferrari. Hopefully that's changed somewhat, but it doesn't negate the fact that one can do silly things. Hopefully you do the mature thing, as you say, cutting jobs. David, did you have a look at that? Did it make you think?
Yeah, I'm more skeptical on this whole thing, because I always do my little segmental chart. And even though the contribution from Tencent was significantly down, it still made up 167% of Process's trading profit. So all the other businesses took away 67%, you know, including the food delivery, which seems to be the best. So I'm saying, when will those businesses, you know, we're getting to peak investment, admittedly, you know, when you look at they tend to write off their amounts that they're spending straight away. But I mean, it's going to take a long time before those businesses can make a dent into what Tencent is contributing. So I look at it and say, nah, you know, this is there's still a long way to go. I don't like to see figures with brackets around them. You know, when you see figures with brackets, it means that's a loss.
Yeah. Yes, which completely, you know, and to have the gall to say that your businesses are showing strong growth in the beginning does my head in slightly, I have to say. Okay, fair enough. There's a question that's come through on MTN, and we've spoken about it a fair amount, but the question has at least two question marks behind it. There is nothing else to the question but the name of the share. Wayne, I think there's a lot of confusion as to why it's come down so dramatically, or if it's just purely linked to the oil price, because we, you know, it had the most phenomenal start to the year. I mean, MTN at one point was just off to the races, and as you can see, it's stuck below 140 rand a share.
Yeah, I think it's just maybe a bit of a return to reality. I mean, it was seriously cheap before the big run, but you know, the consumer's under pressure. We all know this. You can look at, you know, Telkom, and I know you can't really compare the two, but Telkom didn't even grow their mobile customer base. You know, the number of subscribers. You know, so life stuff out there, and I think it's just a bit more of reality coming back to the share price.
Yeah, actually, let's talk. David, maybe your thoughts on MTN. You seem to be quite positive on MTN, actually.
You know why I'm positive? Because if you looked at Old Mutual's results, you know, everybody wants to get into banking. But if they're going to get into banking, it's got to be new banking, you know, fintech banking, something that not marble halls or marble columns like we used to go, and where you stand behind the grid, you know, and wait for the teller to come and help you. I believe you used to be a teller in your youth, but you know, it's not it's not like the Kalani branch of Nedbank. It's much more high level than that. And I've always thought that companies like MTN, Vodacom, and so on, the big ones, could really you know, are really could be leaders in that kind of modern banking because they have just such a wide reach. So I'm still waiting for this to happen, you know, but if you look at what Wayne said, you know, they've come back. In fact, we're at a level that they were in 2015.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now the price that they're trading at is 2015 price. I mean, with ups and downs along the way. So it's taken a long time to realize what we're hoping will be realized.
Yeah, but it's certainly better, as Wayne pointed out, than sort of 40 rand a share, which is what you could have picked it up in during the time of the crisis. Yeah. I have to say, it was the Standard Bank branch in Killarney Mall.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, David, the old bobbers who used to come every day and ask for their statements were the most terrifying woman I've ever encountered. Which is why I didn't last very long in the teller, it must be said.
Those are my aunties, you know.
those are all Shapiro's aunties, yeah.
Well, I tell you, they make up for a very formidable tribe.
You can see them trying to park their cars, you know.
Okay, so there's a question which, on a facetious note, but hey, this is the show, and people with good memories. Julieta, 4 years ago, David picked France to win, and he was correct. What is his pick for these games as your stock pick? So I suppose maybe I should have asked that towards the end of the show, but that could be the cliffhanger. You can think about that. In addition to your stock picks tonight, maybe you've got to pick a country that's going to win this World Cup. How about that? Okay.
It's not going to be Germany.
No, it doesn't look like it at this point. I mean, Telkom actually does talk about open serve. So, of course, they were MTN walked away from the deal to buy Telkom. And it's an interesting how they talk about open service specifically being set up as its own entity. In other words, they would be looking to do something with this business. I don't know, to merge it or sell it. I mean, you know, it's hardly a groundbreaking clue there. But do you think there is still some possibility that something might happen at Telkom? Wayne?
Yeah, look, I think there actually is. I mean, Telkom, you are buying a very large asset base and client base for, quite frankly, very little money. So it might just be part of MTN's strategy to walk away and see who else comes to the party and then come in later with a lower bid, etc., etc. But what I'm very convinced of is that Telkom and Cell C are not viable standalone businesses. So that doesn't mean they're going bankrupt tomorrow, but the amount of capital investment you have got to put into this system, especially with 5G coming along, is beyond their reach. It's truly beyond their reach. Mm. So as a result, you know, you're carrying, I don't know, 60, 70, 80% of your customers' data and calls on someone else's network because you've got to have a deal with one of the two other bigger players. And there's just no margin in that. There's literally no margin. Mm. So I mean, you can see Telkom, massive negative cash flows. You know, they said in the results that, you know, it remains top priority to return capital to shareholders. And that's why maybe they've got the separate businesses they might want to sell off to raise some capital. But I mean, they've been on a dividend holiday for a while now, and I can't see that stopping in the shorter term.
Well, I mean, it's the third year of a three-year dividend policy suspension period, and the board remains committed to reinstating the dividend policy at the end of 2023. You can't see that happening, given what's happening to cash flows in the business.
You've got to compete in this game. You need seriously large pockets.
I think the other point is that they need to grow the mobile side, the data side, the other side much faster than being dragged down by the legacy side. It's still a wait. You know, you were hoping, yes, that continue to unfold that or just, you know, let that die, but they still got to keep it going. And I think the big problem is that the other side is not growing fast enough. They should have done that MTN deal, you know, even though it didn't suit MTN or MTN couldn't care.
Yes.
Because I, you know, to have walked away from that, I don't think is going to help them. And we've seen it in the numbers. I think those numbers were very poor and not what we were expecting either. I thought we would expect a lot better. And a lot of it is because of there's just no more growth. There was, you know, growth in customers, as Wayne said, was just flat.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Telkom walked away from the deal. I think MTN walked away from it.
Yeah, because they were stubborn, you know. They wanted to talk to everybody, you know. I'm going to, it's like one of those reality programs where you choose your husband or you choose the bride, you know. I'll decide later. Yeah.
I mean, if you had to see Rain do a deal with Telkom, would you still want that to take place? And Rain specifically, which is, of course, is the only way that you can access Rain through a listed vehicle would be African Rainbow Capital. Yeah. But if they were to do a deal with Telkom, on the basis of what Telkom has produced, would you be quite nervous? And would that have a commensurate negative effect on African Rainbow Capital, do you think?
Look, Rain has got some seriously big backers with lots of money, but even they haven't got the kind of money.
No, they haven't got that money.
They haven't got that kind of money.
No. And Rain is also, it's like a satellite type business. You know, it hasn't got its own towers. It hasn't got its own infrastructure. It's also reliant on the other providers. So I think Wayne's right. You need big money to in this game.
Yeah. Okay. Then there's a question which asks, which listed companies are big on providing alternative energy in South Africa? This includes providers of inverters and lithium batteries, which seem to be doing quite well with all the load shedding. Not
Look
that
small.
Many, sadly.
Yeah.
I can't think of any, to be honest.
Well, I mean, you know, you've still got Ellie's, which we haven't spoken about for years.
Yes.
And we
they're selling generators, yeah.
Yeah, but that's generators and inverters.
I don't know. I suppose, I don't know what Invicta and Udeco and companies like that who were in that business many, many years ago when we still had electricity, but it was used for other purposes, you know. But I haven't seen anybody in that area. I think most of the companies providing that are private businesses and, you know, very decent small businesses, but nothing of a major, you know, of major concern. We did have a few alternative energies, but they seem to have faded out. I don't know where they are today.
Well, I suppose there were companies that came into play, you know, following the sort of the construction listing boom and also the boom that we saw in the Independent Power Producers Program, the initial one. And then, of course, it was stalled in the later part of the Zuma regime. And, I mean, Consolidated Infrastructure was a classic example of a company that was just tripped up by expectation of work taking place in South Africa that didn't materialize and then problems in Africa. Just on lithium, you know, there are, so not the suppliers of lithium batteries, but the miners of lithium. You see Sibanye-Stillwater, this is its next play.
Yes.
They are canny deal makers. Is that something that you would back or you would want to see in a mining company if that was going to be your, you know, if you were going to pick a resources stock that you'd want to see them involved in the extraction of these battery metals? Wayne?
Sure. Look, I mean, this might sound crazy, but I'm not convinced that battery is going to be the winner in the move to electric. I bet you there are inherent problems with batteries. So it might be the viable alternative now and may remain the viable alternative or the only real alternative for the next 10 years. But after that, I think it might be hydrogen. It might be batteries, you know, and fuel cells. I'm not convinced that battery is the future for electric. They are truly inherent problems with the battery that I think other technologies may do significantly better than battery technology going forward. So I wouldn't like to see a mining company invest its future, its next 30 years, into lithium production.
David?
It's difficult to find those companies. Glencore and it's cobalt, it's nickel, it's copper. It's lithium, it's all of those combined, I think, that are regarded as the modern minerals, and BHP, everybody's looking to go into them. I think the better way is to find the lithium battery makers, and unfortunately, I think the biggest ones are in China, and it's not easy to access them, but I think a lot of investment is going to be made in lithium batteries. you know, simply because China has a dominance there. So I know Wayne, you know, for the meantime, it is the leader. But, you know, the same as Betamax. Remember Betamax and VHS and all of those? You know, anything can happen in industries.
You know, we haven't talked about Tesla for a long time, actually. I mean, we've talked about Elon Musk and we've talked about Twitter, but we haven't talked about Tesla in terms of not its car production, but its alternative energy supplies. Would either of you consider Tesla at this point? And I'm not entirely sure what's happened to the share price in recent months, but it's certainly not where it used to be. I mean, it's sub $200 a share. Is it something that would interest you? It's up 6% today, incidentally.
He's nuts. You know, I don't like to invest in people of that nature, and you know, just totally nutty. You don't know what he's going to do next. You don't. I mean, he's concentrating on Twitter. What for? You know, he should be watching his Tesla and that. And the problem is, if he takes his mind off, he might have very competent people, but he's not the kind of manager. You know, you manage your managers. You look at your managers. You see how they conduct their lives, etc. He's not somebody that I'd like to invite for Shabbos. You know, he's sort of he's too cuckoo. You know?
Look, I mean, there's always a mad auntie in the family, so he could play that particular role if he wanted to. I don't think Elon Musk is being invited to many Shabbos dinners right now. Not amongst his backers. Wayne, I mean, you know, it's a good point. You take your eye off the ball of what is a difficult company to, I mean, Tesla, you know, has a huge potential, but this is a company that must require extraordinary amounts of management time. And now, you know, you're on
an extraordinary capital and
tangent.
You've eventually got to make a profit as well. I mean, any company, it doesn't matter what company it is, no matter how much new tech, new flyer, new companies will have to make a profit eventually, otherwise the companies disappear. So, I mean, if you talk about Twitter, the only reason why he actually did the deal with Twitter was he announced it, then he had second thoughts and he tried to back out, and eventually his lawyer said to him, you cannot back out, it will bankrupt you, that he bought it. Then he's worked out, yeah, he's got to cut costs by 50% for this thing to be profitable. And so he's in there, but yeah, I've been accused of being a Luddite. I'm always a little bit cautious about new age stuff.
Yeah, fair enough.
I would back off a little bit.
Okay. Questions are slow tonight, so I'm not sure if everyone's just got end of year fatigue or no money or watching the football, and we'll get to that in a bit. But
they're watching the football.
Yeah, it is.
That's so cool.
At least Spain are looking good. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
I mean,
poor husband drove off in a fury after Germany lost to Japan. So I'm uttering profanities. But there were a couple of results that came out this today, and I just wanted to ask if you had a look at Rhodes Food at all, because you know, there's the results seem to be very good, and yet the market sold them off a bit, or I mean, you could say actually maybe that Rhodes Food is just really ignored, and yet you've got this plethora of food groups on the JSE. You've got Rhodes, you've got Libstar, you've got AVI, you've got Tiger Brands, and then you're going to get Premier Foods. So you've got a huge range of options. Wayne, I mean.
Look, I mean, AVI is a little bit different. You know, they're not purely food companies. Same as Tigers is a bit different. Rhodes Food is actually a wonderful company. It truly is. But it still nevertheless remains a food company. Now, they've benefited, in my view, they're benefiting from food inflation. They've got margin increasing. You know, so they've got huge sales growth, and it's not all volume. I know there was a recovery in canned goods, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm inherently skeptical about food companies in general. There's so much beyond their control that management can do to keep the company on the right track. You know, people involved in direct retail, you know, you can adjust quite quickly. You haven't got big manufacturing plants. You can be fairly nimble-footed. So I've always worried about food companies. I mean, I'm really happy that Premier is coming back to the market. I think it gives some choice. But, I mean, maybe everyone's just tainted after all the escapades that Tiger had. You know, food companies got a bad name because it was a good set of results and the share doesn't look expensive.
Yeah.
I think one of the points that we have to be conscious of all the time, whether it's sugar, whatever it is, especially in food, is you know, it's going through Rhodes's numbers. And they made a huge profit because the Greek peach crop failed. So of course they had an excessive demand for peaches and canned peaches or whatever they do export. Will that be repeated? Yep. Or will the Greeks come back? You know, and those are the issues always when you're dealing with food, which is a commodity. And so in this case, it favored them. Whether there's a fear that this won't be repeated, I don't know. But on the face of it, very good numbers.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a minute left.
And they make good pies, eh? They make good pies.
Good pies.
Very nice.
Love a Rhodes food pie. Mm. Okay, so we have a minute, and you've got to give us a stock pick and a World Cup pick. Wayne.
Yeah, I think I might have done this before. I'm going for Coronation. The results are out. Earnings are down. Everything looks bleak. But this share has got a very low rating, and it's an extremely good asset management company. And the results came out when they were still in a bit of a bear market. You
and
know,
the share's
any
up 6%
improvement in the market, I would buy it. Choice, I mean, I'm not a big soccer fan. I'm not like Shapiro, who lives, breathes, sleeps, eats soccer. But why not Argentina? I think they'll get woken up after losing to Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's bad enough Germany losing to Japan, but... You know, Argentina losing, I think, is going to be a big wake-up call in that whole team. So why not go for Argentina?
Okay, so everyone can mark our picks. David, how about you?
I'm going for England. Ah, great team. A lot of good youngsters there. Plenty of depth. And they're keen. You know, they're playing with conviction. So they haven't done it since 1966. Yeah. It's going to happen this time. They've got some really good strikers there, so I like them.
Okay, and your stock pick in 10 seconds.
Salesforce, not for this year, for 2024. Company that's been hurt a lot. It ran, come back on that, but I think it's a superb business. I think that will, you know, this year will be flat in profits, but next year, 2024, I think they're going to shoot the lights out. Yeah.
Okay.
But go for England.
Okay, all right. Good thing that we've run out of time because I have no idea who to pick. David Wayne, thank you very much for joining us this evening. David Shapiro is from Sasson Securities, Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. And before I let you go, remember to tune in tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We'll be bringing you the live presentation of Gauteng's medium-term budget policy statement by Finance MNC Jacob Mamabolo. That's here on Business Day TV at 10 o'clock.